It is 7 minutes after 3 o'clock this afternoon here on WSMI-FM. I have a guest. Her name is Carol Fleming. I've been talking about Carol most of the afternoon. And I have, Carol, I've been talking about you most of the afternoon, looking forward to this. Carol Fleming is a sculptor. She is an incredible artist, world-class, who happens to have a studio in St. Louis and has some of her work at Lake Lou Yeager. There's a reason for it. There's a reason why she's a sculptor. And welcome to our show, Carol. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
I am so glad. If you would, obviously, not everyone can do what you do. Not everyone faces the challenges that you've had to face. A little bit about your life. Tell me about you. Where were you? Where were you raised? Where were you born?
Yes, I was born in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And because of me, when they realized I was deaf, the family moved from Louisiana to St. Louis, Missouri, in order for me to attend an oral school with no lip reading. So I'm grateful that the family made the move. All lip reading, no, anyway, Central Institute for the Deaf. Thank you.
Okay. Now, when you moved to St. Louis, you were young. You were 8 years old. Is that right?
I was 3 years old.
3 years old.
And grew up for 5 years in mainstream, you know, joined the other children.
Okay.
When I was 8 years old. And being deaf means that I really rely on vision. I see the world through my eyes. I hear through my eyes. So my brain is developed visually. My father was an architect. And I admire the work of my father, and I would ride in the car with him, and we would look at buildings. So, visual with my world, and to express what was significant, I wanted to do it in a visual manner.
So, with your father being an architect, and you wanted to do to kind of emulate that in your work then?
Right. I would draw. I would work in clay. And we're talking a young girl, 8 years old, 10 years old, 12. I was taking classes with older people because they saw I was that motivated with the sweet that they let me in.
That's amazing. So starting that young, obviously by this point you're pretty good from what I've seen at your studio. So you started doing this at 8 years old, and probably even before then. When did you move from, say, drawing on paper to modeling to using the clay to sculpt?
Right. Then, fortunately, I went to a very good high school. And this high school, or private school, was active in the arts, active in the sports, active in the whole person at Jamboree School. So, I did a lot of ceramic clay portraits, and even there, the headmaster of the school, his own portrait. It looked like him.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. I guess that's one good way to get good grades, probably, huh? Did that help? Probably.
Work hard, study hard.
You bet. So, you went to John Burroughs. When did you first start, receiving some notoriety with the sculpting that you did? Did you do pieces for free, for example?
I'm sorry about the word notoriety. I don't know.
Reputation. Reputation.
That's true.
We'll call it that.
Thank you very much. I would like to back up a little bit. A lot of artists, if you look at them, somebody significant died. And so it made you, when I was a senior in high school, I was facing, what is my life going to be? My father died. Life is short. If life is short, what is your most significant way to live? So early on, I knew I was going to be an artist. Went to a liberal arts college, but I wanted to be an artist. Took a lot of classes in art, travel in art. So that helped the beginning. You train your eyes, you train your habits, your discipline, your strength. You pull them all together to focus. And so in graduate school, by then, if you're experienced artists for all those out there, you start as soon as you can, and you put everything you have, all you can.
Makes perfect sense. It does. Carol Fleming, our guest, carolfleming.com is the website. You can go that and check out her Terra Nova studio in St. Louis. Also, you can watch an incredible video about a piece that she did that's wound up in the Caribbean. So that's all there on the website. We will be back and talk more with Carol here in just a few minutes. John Michael Marty here, along with Carol Fleming. Carol Fleming, a sculptor from the St. Louis area, and her husband, Larry Marks, along with us here as well. Larry says his family has property, had a place on Lake Lou for 50 years, and so you guys come up here a lot. And look what you did. You gave something back to the lake.
Mm-hmm. You know, Albert Pujols?
Yeah, sure.
He's a wonderful
baseball player.
And his mom, one of his children, he is a Down syndrome child. So he has a heart for it. And he has helped sponsor a lot of programs for children with the Down syndrome. So he had one girl who has the illness, I mean the condition, and she and I made the walk together. And we each made a sundial.
A sundial. Okay.
The sun. You're looking at the sun. It's like a sun ray of hope and light spot. And we made this piece working together with different pieces of clay. And I had a professional welder frame it so that we can put all the individual pieces of tiles with yellow and white glazes. And it made out a beautiful, happy piece. And it was auctioned off for the...
for his foundation.
...welfare of Down syndrome people. And I had the other piece, and I kept looking for a good home for it. The center, it belonged outside, in the community, on the water. It's like going to the beach. It's always sunny.
So it's out there at the beach house, the conference center at Lake Lou Yeager. And when you next time you drive out there, you'll see it on the wall if you park in a parking lot. It's just beautiful. It really is gorgeous. Now, you did another piece then. We were talking about the rose. One of the things that I have to quote you, I think, you said that the earth laughs in flowers. Is that right?
It's a wonderful part of tourism in Latvia.
Sarah wrote that.
Well, yeah, that's clever.
But it is very clever, because I thought, well, that's exactly right, you know. It's almost like a smile. Yeah, that's true. Flowers are beautiful. So this rose, and you say that this is only one of four roses mm-hmm. that you have done.
Right, the story behind the rose pail is that it was designed for your kitchen. If you wanted a backsplash or something behind the stove, or somewhere in the house, it was to give you a sense of serenity, a little bit of beauty, and a rose, or even a camellia in the south. And what I did for a kitchen in the state of Maine, it's along the coast, and that one had more of a sea, what do you call it? Tidal wave, tide, beach, pebbles, tidal pool, they call it tidal pool.
Uh-huh.
And it had more of an earth color, the sea, that kitchen. So every kitchen could use a little bit of art somewhere in the house.
And this one that you did out at Lake Lou is more of an American beauty. It's a red, reddish rose, right? Pinkish
yes.
red?
Thank you, yes. Lots of drab of clay, lots of different color flower petals, call them in tight, let it dry, glaze, fire. In my case, when I fire a ceramic sculpture, most of the walls are really thick. Imagine the side of your hand. They are an inch or so dense,
yeah.
thick, heavy. So I have to let the clay dry very slowly. I mean to let the kiln preheat very slowly. So let's say I make any of my sculptures. It's about a week to make the artwork. It's about 3 weeks to let the clay dry. And then it's about 4 days in the kiln to preheat and fire and cool. So
wow.
you're looking at a commitment of one sculptor over a month-long process.
Oh, my. That's a lot different than sketching charcoal on paper, isn't it? That's amazing. When you do the work that you do, let's talk about some of the bigger pieces. Again, I'm going back to the video because I thoroughly enjoyed watching that. Because of your father, his influence as an architect, and giving you that appreciation of big, tall buildings, you do literally monoliths. I mean, you know, wonderful
building blocks.
Yeah. Tell me about that particular one. Tell me about that one that wound up in the Caribbean.
Right. Well, if you're familiar with architectural firms, it's okay. It's the main one within the city of St. Louis, but they're all over the world. It's okay. And they did a building in Saudi Arabia for King Ra. Whatever. And it looks like flames.
Yes, it sure does.
It's the oil industry. So they have buildings in shape of beautiful, sweeping, moving flames. And I was struck. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So I wanted to make my own version of how we can build on brass and how we can twist the clay like a candle or a fire or the wave, and how we all need to build together. We need to grow together, shine the light, have a little bit of flame, share the love.
So when you did that tall structure, I noticed in the video you weren't just making something 12 foot tall. It was in sections. Is that right?
Yeah, you have to in order to start on Monday with 100 pounds of clay. And that will come up to about your belt. And then on Tuesday, I will do 375 pounds of clay. And on Wednesday, 2 bags of clay. 50. Friday, maybe 2 bags of clay. Another 50. So it all adds up to about 250 pounds. And you take it apart to the floor of the kiln. So the kiln will take 4 different sections within the cubic yard. Can you picture this?
Yeah, I can picture it because when I saw it on the video, you putting a piece in, and I'm sitting here trying to wrap my head around how long it took to make that thing, because if it took 30 days to make something small, this is a long time.
It's still a week, still 3 weeks to dry, a week to create, and a week to fire.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
So a little bit the same process.
Now, when they watch the video, if they do and if they don't, I wanted to describe it. This beautiful twisting, your version of the flame, which looked like a monolith, by the time you got it colored, and by the time it was all glazed and fired, it didn't look like flame at all. It looked like what it was meant to be, which was that wall of water from the ocean floor to the top of the wave. And that's why it's winding up in the Caribbean, I guess, right? So, I don't mean to answer to tell your story, but it's just a fascinating picture to watch that video of that process start to finish. So I can't tell you enough how it would be interesting to go to carolfleming.com and watch that six-minute video. It's pretty cool. Carol, when we come back, the next thing I want to talk about is what's in your future. I know we can't tell the future, but we want to think about what some of your goals that haven't been finished yet, okay? So we'll come back and talk again in just a few minutes. 25 minutes before 4 o'clock, our guest is Carol Fleming. Carol has a studio in Ladue where she does amazing sculptures. And she has done so many. She is so well known. Before I talk about or ask you to talk about what's next for you, would you tell me about that sculpture garden that you have out in California, how that came about? Which I thought that was also really inspirational.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, some kind of go deep and really appreciate in depth their art or space, and together make a beautiful bit of harmony. And in this case, I gave him a little gift. He's a talented fitness man, and he took this little gift and said, wow, I can make it grow. And he took this little handheld claw, a gift because his father died or something, and it was touched. And since I'm standing here, I gave a little handheld acorn to John, and he's looking at it. I can see the weight, I can feel the texture, I can see the different glaze color. So he invited me out to his residence, and we walked around, and I showed him pictures of what could be done, brought in a little glaze sample, that kind of brought the studio to him. So he was able to place his order. I want 5 columns to go above his towering rocks. I want a couple of eggs, some bit of hope, to go in the rose bed. I want 3 large acorns that give bounty and prosperity, and they are among another steps in the garden. And we did it. Then he comes back and says, wait a minute, you made some more one. Let me have it. So you took 5 more balls. Big, big, big. There are 200 pound per sphere. And he placed them along his apple tree.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful. Like a walking path. And then I made more. Oh my goodness. I want some more of those. So we ship out. Again, we're talking about an art truck. An art truck that goes across the country. Goes from New York to San Francisco. New York to San Francisco. So we just kept putting art on the truck. Take it out there, drop it off. So the last 3 were, so this is now art number 17.
Wow.
17. The last 3 are teardrops, raindrops, water drops, blue, poetic dreams, feeling of cleansing, spa, painting or memorial because someone died, or they are, our body is part water, and so how we want to be, take care and have a rejuvenating teardrop.
They were so beautiful, and first of all, the pictures of the garden that are on the website, the columns, it made me think of Stonehenge almost immediately, the first thing. And then I realized, no, there's a lot more to this than that. It certainly wasn't built by druids. But the interesting thing is the serenity that garden seemed to have because of the work that you put in it. You know, because here you're talking about hard glazed clay like rocks, and it's amongst all the flowers and the natural flora, and it still blended well together. It's really beautiful. Now, what's next for you? What are you going to work on next? Do you know?
Well, if you have to know this.
I have to know this.
Artists do not retire.
Okay.
Artists die in the saddle. You die on the bench. So I want to keep making art. I love it. It shares the opportunity to share the joy of beauty. Beauty is my spiritual goal of offering, like you said, serenity within the garden. So the dialogue of my artwork of nature within the setting of nature. Sometimes it's indoors, that's all good too. Sometimes it's more architectural. So what's next? Well, as ever, you're always looking for the next client, the next proposal to put out there. So being self-employed, it's a hustle to keep putting your word out. And people would say yes or no, yes or no. You should keep doing it. You have the faith. You know that when someone says yes, we have a need for beauty, then it's a beautiful teamwork.
I would say, I'm curious. There was a singer one time named Gene McDaniel, who did a song called 100 Pounds of Clay. And I'm just curious, how many pounds of clay do you think you've gone through since you started?
I have done the kiln firing. It's a big kiln. 467 times. I've been in business at Studio Terranova 31 years.
31 years. Wow.
When I order clay, it comes in 2,000 pounds, one ton. So I write a check for maybe $800 for a pound of clay. And I try to go through it. But sometimes I have to go slower. Sometimes I burn right through it. And when you go through a lot of clay right away, guess what? Your body feels tired.
I'll bet so.
You're rolling out clay, you're lifting clay, you're working out, and you're ready to get up and start again.
I thank you so much for being here today, Carol. Two things I want to say, I want you to hear. The passion for what you do just flows out of you. It's been a real privilege to have you here. Second, I just can't say enough how I hope everyone goes to your website and takes a look at your work, because we can't necessarily go to California or Maine to see it. But you were kind enough to put some pictures up there. I think everybody should see. And then, by all means, go out to Lake Lou and see the work out there. It has been great to have you. Thank you very much, Carol Fleming. CarolFleming.com and Terra Nova Studios in Ladue. So if you're ever out there, look them up. Do you encourage visitors? Can someone come by?
You can say, I want to visit. It's based on the website.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Larry, for bringing her up here today. And good luck. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes. I didn't make you famous. You're already there. I think so. Have a great day.